Hey, y'all. I'm Allison Asarch from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hey, I'm Sean Fraser from the Ritzy Kids.
Hunters, this is Johnny from Rail Motor.
Hey, it's Shane from Blind Season.
Hey, it's Rob Stanier, and you can check out my music on all the streaming platforms.
Check out my latest music on all the streaming sites.
Check out my debut album on all streaming platforms.
Check out our new debut album.
Check us out on Spotify and Apple Music. And you're listening to our friends, Braggy and Curly.
My favorite bands from Australia.
My two favorite podcasts is Braggy and Curly.
Braggy and Curly.
On the Unfiltered.
Let's go. Hey there, everyone, and welcome. I think we are episode 142 of the Unfiltered Undiscovered Podcast, but we could be 143 or maybe even 144. I think we're losing count as we get older. We've got it's an all Queensland session tonight. Rossi is stuck in the studio doing some emergency surgery to a guitar, I believe, Braggy. It was
that's what he said. He said he had the parts, the guitar, the number one guitar, whoever he's working in the studio with,
had
gone down, so he was about to operate.
So he couldn't jump on tonight. But I personally think it's because it's Anzac Day tomorrow. The Dragons are playing the Roosters, and I'm just thinking he's a little bit nervous, Braggy, to be honest. So the way the both teams are playing, and of course you have no care factor.
How is the basement of the NRL ladder?
Well, the Dragons are about ninth, and okay. I think the Chooks are around there too. So it actually should be a good game. So now the last Queenslander, of course, we've got on the screen is our good friend from up there in North Queensland. We were just reminiscing about the Ville, and of course I'm talking about Josie. How are you, Josie? It's so good to have you back on the podcast.
I'm going great. Thank you so much for having me back.
Fantastic to have you. I think last time you talked about your song about your dad, Freight Man, but I don't think we didn't hear it, did we?
No, it hadn't been today. We'll give him a sneak peek of what it was all about.
That's right. Well, I freaking love it. I've been listening to it this afternoon. So
I'm glad.
When it comes time to talk about that one, that's a great song.
We're talking about it now. Why not?
Well, I didn't know. I didn't know what the format was, Curly.
No. We're talking two songs, the latest one and Freight Man. And before you do, just Spotify, 368,000 streams on Freight Man. My God.
And that's just Spotify. It's ridiculous. I'm pretty sure we've hit 500,000 across all platforms, which is really just blown me away. I mean, I knew it was a great song, but I never thought that it was, you know, going to hit as big of an audience as it did. I was like, oh, this is pretty a unique experience. Who's going to relate to this? Like, look at me, I'm so unique. No, right now, so many people have reached out to me relating to it. Oh, I'm the daughter of a freight man. Oh, I grew up driving around in a truck, and I'm like, what? I mean, my whole childhood, I just thought, wow, what a special little child getting to cruise around in a road train. None of my friends are doing that. But no, it turns out there's quite a few more little country bumpkin kids like me out there. It's blown me away. It really has.
Well, the reason is because it's such a personal song, and you can tell it in your voice when you sing it. You know, it's an emotional song, I feel.
It's the Onion, you know, song.
Waxy and I sat here, listened to it today, and we were like two old chooks. We thought, oh, she's almost going to tear up. I love it.
The Onion song. That's what Dad liked first time he heard it.
For the listeners, just to put 436,000 things, my band Rail Motor, Waxy and I have been chuffed because we got our 50th listener, monthly listener. We're like, So it's just so good, and it's a good song. It deserves it. My favorite line in it, because I'm a lyrics guy, is when you say your father taught you how to be on time, and he taught you that there's always someone in a tougher place than mine.
I love that line. One of my favorite lyrics in that song, any of my songs.
Yeah,
it's great. That's how I was raised.
Yeah,
it's yeah. the song is a true testament to my whole life, and I think it was the perfect like second song to put out there, because you know I gave them the taste of what I was about in the first song, and then the second song just pretty much, you know, word vomited out my entire life, and I was like, here, know everything, have it all, and but I love it, and I love that people are connecting to it, even though it is such a personal song for me, and yes.
What do you reckon, we're cruising in the truck, Bobby? It's good fun.
I'm a daughter of a freight man who drives them big old road trains all over Queensland and back again. He'd take me out there and we'd drive from Townsville to the middle of nowhere, and I'd keep the bulldust from the tires and Tupperware. He taught me to dream and how to be on time. There was always someone else in a tougher place than mine, stick it out and take a lot of pride, and to never say goodbye when you've got cash on the flip side. Yeah, he raised us in a way that only a trucker can. I'm a daughter of a freight man.
Did it kind of write itself, Jacey? Did it feel like you were working on it? Like some songs you got to work on. Did this one feel like, shit, I've just, how did that happen?
Yeah, it just wrote itself. So this was a co-write with Travis Collins. And it was my first ever co-write ever. And I was 15 when I wrote this. Wow. So it was, the song wrote itself. I went into the co-write session going, like, I was just fangirling over Travis Collins, to be honest. And I don't know what to do. I don't know how to write a song with someone. And I'd started trying to give him some other song idea, and he's like, yeah, that one's finished. That's fine. Well, what else have you got? And I was like, okay. And then he's like, tell me about your life. So I just went on, and I was like, oh, well, my dad's a truck driver. I grew up driving around in the truck with him and seeing all the stations and stuff. And he's like, oh, so what did he cart? What was he doing? And, oh, so he used to have a freight business. And he goes, so he was the freight man. And I was like,
love it.
And it wrote itself. It really did. And it was one of the coolest like songwriting moments ever. I don't think nothing's really topped that apart from writing in the studio with my producers. Nothing's topped that. So it was so cool. And it's cool to see just how far it's come. I wrote it, 7 years ago. So ridiculous.
And you must have been thinking this music business, it's a pretty simple game. So Down Here was an awesome song. I think Spotify, once again, over 250,000 streams there. You back it up with Freight Man, and it goes ballistic. So you must have been thinking, hey, I'm all over this.
Well, at the time I was like, oh, geez. I'm getting a lot bigger of a reach than I thought I ever would. Maybe I don't need to put in too much effort, but I do feel like it's not had the same reaction with the new song as it did with the other ones. So I'm like, okay, no, this is hard. We need to put in a lot of work. But I also think it's just the whole, I feel like people now just think that I only sing about trucks. So put out a song that isn't about a truck, I'm not listening to it.
Well, that's wrong with that, though.
But I know like the success from Freight Man has kind of been like, oh wow, okay, I don't really know what to do with this information. This just happened by itself. It's like the song just sold itself, and it really did. So now it was a bit weird trying to back that up and go, okay, well, what do I put out after that that's also going to sell itself? So it's been tricky, but the one coming after Our Place, so in the middle of the year, I think I'll release it. It's another personal sort of life story one, which I think will do the same thing Freight Man did. Yeah. So I'm very interested to see how it plays out.
Our Place is getting some likes though too, isn't it? It's got heaps of...
It has, yeah. I say that it hasn't done well, but it has done pretty well. Oh, I mean, I can't complain. I'm really, yeah, stoked with just the ongoing support from everyone from day dot, which has been incredible. And but it just hasn't done what Freight Man did. And I think it was hard to like come off the back of Freight Man with those high expectations of, oh, I've got, you know, 500,000 streams on this. What's the next one going to do? So it's hard not to compare yourself, but I'm trying to be positive.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And does it put pressure on you now, I guess, from a songwriting aspect? Are you finding that songwriting process is a bit more challenging because you have had that amount of streams on some of your music?
100%. Like, I truthfully haven't actually written a full decent song that I would happily go and record tomorrow since I wrote my last studio session. Like, it's been really tricky, and I know writer's block is a big thing for lots of writers, so I know I'm not alone, but it does feel pretty like, oh wow, I bet you everyone else is out there writing hits and I'm sitting here writing nothing. And it's hard to just you know, go, okay, no, it's just the ebbs and flows of it. It's a roller coaster. I'm just in a bit of a ditch at the moment. It'll go back up.
Especially if you've got, and I think if you got to hold down a job, like a normal job as well, which I think you do, yeah. So it's terrible to say. People have to do it, but it's a negative thing when it comes to being creative. If you've,
it's hard being Josie's manager, Josie's social media creator, content creator.
Yeah.
Like, I'm everything, and I have to do everything all by myself. Like, there's no one else doing this with me. It's just the Josie team, Josie and Josie. And it's really tricky. Like, the last 5 weeks, I've kind of had a stint of shows everywhere. I played Country Fest, Queensland. We had, like, Morgan Evans, James Johnston. I got to get up and sing with James Johnston, which was incredible. Mm-hmm. I went from that straight out to Winton for the Way Out West Fest with PBR. Came home from that, played a show in Airlie Beach, then drove home and played in Charters Towers the next night. Came home, flew to Melbourne the next night, been in Melbourne for a week, flew home from Melbourne, drove to Julia Creek the next morning. Like, my schedule the last 5 weeks has, like, killed me.
You cover more miles than your dad.
I reckon I probably have. probably not.
All that just suppresses the creativity. You got to.
It does. About.
So you need time off. You need to go and sit and just, because it takes a few days, doesn't it? You know, to get to that creative mood, it takes you're going to be doing nothing for 4 or 5 days before it starts to come to you, I feel anyway.
Especially when you're like doing the whole business side of everything and then the social media side and the booking, and it's like, how do I be creative when I'm so businessy? It's like completely different things, and it's hard to find where that happy medium is where I can do all of it. I can't. I need to, take a step back sometimes and just go, all right, no, we need to creative stuff.
Yeah. That sort of stuff, it makes you think about, those old bands in the old days, like the Beatles, where they're just playing gig after gig after gig, and they're writing in the back of cabs, or they're writing on trains, or they're writing in the hotel room, right? You know, because they've got to be back in the studio and they've got to have an album.
Yeah. It's insane.
So since we last spoke to you, Josie, we spoke to you at the height, I guess, of what Down Here was doing for you, and TikTok fame and all of that stuff that was coming your way. What's that opened up in terms of, you just talked about an amazing schedule there of playing gigs, you know, right across the eastern seaboard just about, and a little bit of dust and dirt festivals, but what's opened up because, or has anything opened up because of it?
It definitely has. I mean, all these shows, like you just said, that's all come from, people seeing what I'm doing and liking what I'm doing, which is great. But I've got a bunch of more shows for the rest of the year, some that haven't been announced yet, but I've got one that's really cool, the Lasso Country Music Festival, that's happening just south of Brizzy in July, which I'm really stoked to be doing that. Actually, and another one that was announced is the weekend after that in Boolya for the Boolya Camel Races. So it's really feeling, pretty cool. Like, I've just got all these festivals rolling in, and I look at my own Instagram feed of me announcing all the festival posters, and I'm like, this looks so cool. Like, I don't realize in the moment. I'm like, booking it. Yeah, cool. Oh, this is going to be cool. And then I look back and, oh, wow, okay. yeah, this is actually awesome. I'm so grateful for these opportunities. And it's funny, the people that, yeah, reach out to me for it saying, you know, oh, we love Freight Man. We love what you've been doing. It's connected with all of us here. And, yeah, just blows me away. It's still trying to sink in, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you're doing those with a band or are you playing solo?
Yeah, with band, which is also just a whole nother thing. It's the best.
Is it always the same band?
It, unfortunately not. I feel like the country scene is very big on, you know, you can just use session musicians everywhere. Yeah. I do have my band and they're great. But yeah, the Lasso Country Music Festival using a house band and then the same with Julia Camel Races using a house band there. So it's a bit tricky. It's hard because then you feel like you can't, you know, nail down a sound and a performance.
Nail down the sound and nail down a show. Really, because the whole band comes in the show. So Curly, you know, speaking of Curly being a punter, that the reason that's so hard picking up a band all the time is that if you play with the same band, then you get to some point in the song and, oh, this is the part where someone does this or someone does that and it becomes a whole show. Whereas if you play with pickup band, those guys don't know that and they just kind of play through the song. And it's probably just up to Josie to make the show, which makes it a lot harder.
Mm. Yeah. And like just building the relationships between all the band members too, and like gelling with everyone, and you know, bouncing off each other. It's like that's the hard thing doing the session because you haven't have a chance to gel with everyone. It's like you jump on stage, play the show, and see you later. You don't see each other again.
You know, another one of those $500,000 liked videos,
and then we'll be on our way.
You don't worry about working. That's awesome.
Yeah, you got to love a good country festival, but can I just, and the Lasso Country, yeehaw. And I love the Bullia, what was it, Camel Races?
Camel races.
Yeah, so like the other week we were talking about the Denny Ute Muster. Did you play the one in Townsville on New Year's Eve? Was that?
I did indeed, yes.
So what was that called again?
That was the Buckwild Country Barn Sessions.
Buckwild Country Barn, that's great.
And what was that like? Because Katrina Burgoyne was up there and there was a couple of other people that we'd saw. Katie Brooke?
They both played there. Yeah, we spoke both there. Hmm.
Good festival? Was it a good show?
Yeah, it was really cool. Like the whole atmosphere and all the decorations and everything that the Buckwild team put on is always incredible, and I think that really made it for me. The weather was disgusting, though. Like that, unfortunately, that's the thing that stuck with me from that event was how feral the weather was.
Really? hot.
In a bad mood because of how hot it was. And we had like a thunderstorm that rolled in right after midnight. So it was just humid and hot and feral. And so that was
Townsville. That's why I only come to Townsville in the winter. Get out of Adelaide.
Townsville in summer? Disgusting. Yeah. I want to move. Just for the summer, it's feral.
So you have no designs to move from Townsville at the moment?
I do. I do want to get out of here. Very bad.
More 500,000 stream song, Curly.
You know, I very much so I've been talking about this for a little bit now. Like I've been here my whole life. I was born here and I feel like it's time, you know. I don't want to look back and go, wow, I wish I went and explored the place a little bit, you know,
there's so
many places out there to go. And I kind of want to go at it with the mindset of I'll go somewhere and I only have to be there. I could be there for 6 months, 12 months. If I don't like it, piss off, and go and find somewhere else. And that's kind of the idea I'm going at it with is I want to just go and, you know, see the place,
why are you getting all these gigs, you know? Less to travel from other places to go to those gigs.
Yeah, exactly. So, we'll see what happens. I would love to ideally move around the Brizzy area, Sunshine Coast. I feel like that's the natural progression. You know, not too far from home, but still.
Yeah, they're around the Gympie Muster and the Woodford Art Folk Festivals and whatnot. So the scenes, I'd imagine, are a little bit bigger.
Huge, the amount of artists and that are based in that area, it's huge. I just feel I would be so much more connected, you know, being around some more people that are in this industry, because I'm up here all alone. Like there's no one here with me. I'm just just me. And it's yeah, it feels pretty lonely when I'm seeing all my other, you know, country music friends going and playing gigs together on the weekends and, you know, going to all those country music venues. Like, yeah, Brisbane has a whole bunch of country music venues. Townsville's got nothing. Like, yeah, it's very much feeling like I've outgrown the place now. I'm just ready for a change.
And you do a little bit of work with Ben Penner up there as well, correct? So
yeah. He played the Buckwild Barn sessions with me.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. There you go.
Benny is quite a cool cat that was on the podcast as well. And
yeah, we had him on, with his couple of his songs there.
Yeah, loves Waxy. The old Waxy, loves going to Agnes Water, which is where you are at the moment, Braggy. So
that's correct. I'm right here. This ocean is just there.
Now, Josie, we didn't tell you this before coming on, but we do a trivia segment, so halfway through, and usually it's can the guest beat Rossi? And, of course, Rossi's not on tonight, so can the best guest beat Curly? And I reckon, yes, you will.
You're going to need a pen and some paper if you've got it, or your laptop or something.
Just to make some notes.
I have to say that I really make the quiz. It's really hard. But I have designed it around country music today, Curly.
Yeah, cool.
Well, my nearly all the questions are around country music. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 questions that add up to 20 points.
Yeah. And then Josie, once we've done the quiz, we'll talk about Our Place, your latest song, and we can
do a bit of a deep dive into
it, because it is a bit of a party song that I want to hear a little bit more about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All righty.
Okay, you two ready?
I'm as ready as I'm going to be.
Who was Virginia Patterson Hensley? If you don't know, it doesn't matter. You just got to beat one another. You'll know who it is. I'm sure both of you will know.
Virginia. Recite the name again.
Virginia Patterson Hensley. The clue. I'll give clues this time because I normally don't, because Rossi is in the middle name.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So I'm going to. Okay.
Okay, see how you go with these ones.
I've got a great guess for that.
These ones might be a bit hard for Josie, being of her age, not old like us.
Not as old as us.
This is called denim dilemmas. Okay. So I'm just going to tell you. You're gonna tell me who sings these songs, basically. Although they're not all like that. But whose baby made a blue jeans talk? Do you know that song? Baby makes a blue jeans talk. Yeah, who sang that? And then the next one is, who thought everybody was wearing blue jeans? Everybody's wearing blue jeans.
Oh, okay.
Everybody's got their own scene.
Yeah, I'm glad you sing him.
Yeah, it's giving you a clue when I sing him, isn't it? who was forever in blue jeans?
Forever in blue jeans.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And
who woke up and pulled their old blue jeans on? When I wake up.
Oh, I know that song.
There's two answers I'll take for that. I'll take the old person's answer and the young person's answer. And the last one is a little different. It's who lives on his back and loves chimney slacks.
That is so familiar, and I've lost it.
Okay. You ready for question? That was question two. That's worth.
How'd you go with those, Josie?
She looks like she's writing something down, so I reckon she's got a chance.
Terrible.
Which, now, in the late. Early 70s, late 60s, or it might have been 70, 71. Too.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash had his own TV show, but it only lasted for 2 seasons because he was very controversial in the country thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to read you a list of musicians, and I want you to tell me which of these musicians did not appear on the Johnny Cash Show. Ray Charles, Tammy Wynette, Louis Armstrong, Merle Haggard, Dolly Parton, or the Monkees? Which, who did not appear on the Johnny Cash Show?
So I'm sort of guessing that's a bit of a trick question.
Could be, could be.
Okay. Read them out again, sorry.
Ray Charles, Tammy Wynette, Louis Armstrong, Merle Haggard, Dolly Parton, or the Monkees?
Mm. How good were the Monkees, just quietly?
They were pretty good.
Hey, hey, we're the Monkees.
Okay, this is country music state of origin. Are these people a blue or a maroon? So okay. It's their state of birth. Okay?
Okay. Yep.
Troy Cassidaly, is he a blue or a maroon?
Yep.
Melinda Schneider, blue or maroon? Caitlin Shadbolt. Chad Morgan. Gina Jeffries and Slim Dusty. There's six there. 6 points. Yeah.
I reckon the Big Stu, the country music correspondent, would have got all of them.
He would have nailed that. Now, Josie, this is the hardest one of all. This is called Cryptic Country. So it's country artists, but I'm going to give you their names cryptically, and you have to figure out who they are. So what's my thing, Curly? What's the example I give? I can never remember. I'm hopeless.
Well, the Rolling Stones could be.
Could be the Tumbling Rocks.
Rocks.
You understand what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got it? But it's a bit more difficult than that, okay? But these are all country people. At least you know that.
Okay.
First one is Bear Beneath the Timber. And it's bear as in something you bear, not a brown bear. Bear Beneath the Timber. When I tell you who they are, you'll go, ah.
Ah.
Second one is Proud to Be a Chaplain. I love the look of people's faces.
Proud.
Rusty normally gets these. Proud to be a chaplain. Third one is First Man with a Logo. First Man with a Logo.
What?
Fourth one. Fourth one is Barbie's Got a Bit On.
What?
Barbie's Got a Bit On. That's the fourth one.
Barbie's got a Bit on. So that's something about dolls.
Hey, now you're thinking. And the last one is so difficult. I was trying to stump Rossi, so good luck. It's a chime in a tent in a Scottish glen.
Holy, yeah.
Oh, sorry, a Scottish glade. A Scottish glade.
A chime.
In a tent in a Scottish glade. I kind of gave the answer away there.
Oh, did you?
Okay, and the last question is worth 2 points, and it is, when there's a party at Josie's, who's cooking up a storm and who's cranking something loud? I hope you've done your research, Curly. When there's a party at Josie's, who's cooking up a storm and who's cranking
something loud? I've got zero, so I've listened to the song. I haven't tuned into the lyrics yet. You know it takes me a while.
Clearly not.
Oh, okay, no. You
ready? I'm going to mark them now. You ready, guys?
Okay.
Who? Virginia Patterson Hensley was Patsy Cline.
Oh!
You got it?
Yeah. And I'm glad you gave the second name a hint because that's the one I tuned in on.
Righto. Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, not me.
Oh, well. Baby Makes the Blue Jeans Talk was by Dr. Hook.
Yes.
Everybody's Wearing Blue Jeans is by Skyhooks. All these bands were over and done with before Josie was born.
Yeah.
Forever in Blue Jeans was Neil Diamond.
Diamond. So that's three.
You got three, have you?
Yeah, I got those three.
When I wake up in the morning, like, pull on my jeans. It was originally David Dundas, but I'll take Keith Urban.
Ah. And Josie got none of them.
And Gene Genie. Gene Genie lives on his back.
David Bowie.
Okay, the only person not to appear on the Johnny Cash Show out of those people was Dolly Parton.
Yes.
I got that.
Well, Josie, that's good. You're on the board. My dickhead mates who were on last week, they didn't get anything, I don't think. Did they? Robin Waxy?
Yeah, they were horrible. They were horrible.
Troy Cassidaly is a blue.
Oh. Okay.
Melinda Schneider, she's a blue too. Boo.
Yeah, got that one.
Caitlin Shadbolt's a Queenslander.
Yes.
Chad Morgan's a Queenslander. Gina Jeffries is a Queenslander.
Yeah.
And Slim Dusty was a blue.
Okay, well, that's not really too bad.
And the cryptic country, you ready?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
Bear beneath the... If you bear something, you carry it. So it's Carrie Underwood. Bear beneath the timber.
Oh.
Carrie Underwood. Okay. Proud to be a chaplain. Anyone ever heard of Charlie Chaplin? Yeah, heard of Charlie Chaplin, yeah. So it's Charlie Pride.
I'm Charlie Pride.
Well done, Dutchie.
All right.
That was the only one out of the whole thing. I was like, I'm pretty sure I got that.
Well done. First man with a logo. First man is Adam, so that's Adam Brand. The logo is a brand, isn't it? Adam Brand. It's hilarious.
See what we've got to put up with, Josie.
Barbie's got a bit on. That's Dolly Parton.
I got that.
Well done. And a chime is a bell. If you're in a tent, it's a camp. And a Scottish glade is a glen. So it's Glen Campbell. Glen Campbell.
Oh, my God.
It was halfway. Sorry. Yeah. And Josie's place, her dad's cooking up a storm and her mum's cranking something loud. Does your mum crank the country or is she a rocker?
Oh, I mean, probably a bit more rocker than country, to be honest.
Is she?
Yeah.
Like 80s, Chisel and that, or?
Yeah. Like Chisel, Baby Animals. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Actually, I hear kind of we're about now, I guess, to talk about
Our Place. Yep.
Which is a blues song in its format. It's a 12-bar. Yeah, kind of. So it's got that, I don't know, when I first listened, I thought about, you remember that song by Alana Miles? A little tippy in the middle of a drive. It's got that kind of, well, it's, That song does not sound like that, but it's got that bluesy, bit more bluesy feel to it than it has country, which I like. I love that song.
And it's so funny you say that. We've added that into my original sets. We play Black Velvet like,
There you go.
Love it.
Great song. You'd kill that, wouldn't you, vocally, I reckon.
I think so.
Excellent.
I've got to say, I'm loving the Spotify cover image now on your
with the boots of the wine. Oh no, what are you drinking? Beer.
A beer.
Yeah.
That's Our Place party anthem. So what brought about that song? What made you write that song?
Well, I had always wanted to write like a country party song, like a banger. I just needed a true banger. And every time I'd sit down to like set out and write a banger, it just did not work. You know, if I had to put a bracket on myself and be like, you need to write a banger, I would walk away with probably like the most depressing song ever. So it was like, this ain't working. And then I actually just graduated from my Bachelor of Music specializing in songwriting. And one of our like songwriting, assignment, we had to give ourselves a brief and write to the brief. And there were a lot of assignments where we had to write to like another brief that they gave us. But this time they were like, look, how about you just set out to write something that you know yourself as an artist need to write? And I was like, okay, well, let's go back to the country banger. But I kind of set the confines as like it needed to have, you know, some character to it. It needed to not just be your typical boy meets girl, has a party, drinks beer. Like it needed to be a bit more, quirky, have some character about it and a bit more unique. So that's what I set out to do. And I think I did a pretty good job at it. I mean,
yeah, and it's personal too. So, you know.
I wrote it in like, I want to say 2 hours maybe. It was a really quick song, right? And yeah, I was so happy with it. Took it to the studio. We changed a few little things. We really didn't change too much. So I wrote like most of the song and I was super stoked about, yeah, how it came up, because it really did tap into those little quirky things about parties out at our place, because, man, we've had quite the shindig out here. And, yeah, we've had quite some great times, you know, my 16th, my 18th, my 21st, all the big parties, but every other birthday in between. And, yeah, you know, it's been great. And everyone knows that, like, the parties out here are, you know, where you got to be. Everyone knows it. So I was like, this song, yeah, it was perfect. And it tapped into all those little quirky things I wanted it to go to, like Dad cooking up a storm, no word of a lie. Like, that dude will sit there, and we've had parties where he had a brisket cooking for 22 hours so that we all had 22-hour long cooked brisket burgers. Oh, tell me how many parties you're going to where you're rolling up to a 22-hour cooked brisket.
I relate to it because it reminds me of, you know, living in Townsville and going to those parties like that. And if you got musos there, then it's always going to be a good party. Always.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Even more so if the guy's cooking is a trucker as well. I mean, you know, it's going to be some good meat going on that barbecue.
Yeah. He gets it, like, he'll come home from his trips and get meat from, from out west.
Yeah. And the guys are carting cattle. Yeah.
Yeah, top notch. We don't have Coles sausages over here. We've got Hughenden Butcher sausages.
Oh, yeah. But you'd remember, Curly, when you lived up there, you know, it's a little bit humid up there, so the beer coming off the ice, you've got to have it out the backyard, under the mango tree or wherever you are.
Yeah, Josie, when I got when I met my wife, Sharon, she was she's a Townsville girl.
Yeah.
And I had no intention of leaving once we got married. We bought a house. I was supposed to be there for 2 years on a transfer and then back to Brizzy. Well, I ended up spending 5.5 years there. Sharon's family's about 11 brothers and sisters. So all you had to do is make one phone call on a weekend, and all of a sudden you had a house full of people and a party going on. So
that sounds about right.
Very easy to slip into a very comfortable zone with that sort of stuff. But, so I can certainly recognise. I love Townsville and I loved living up there, but you're absolutely right about the heat. So tell me about Tamworth. So did you go to Tamworth this year?
Indeed I did. It was such a great time. So cool. I got to play a sold-out show, which was the first thing I did while I was there. So it was like, well, okay. That was a great intro into the festival. It was incredible. I had the best time.
Okay. So that was your show, or were you supporting others with that?
Supporting Lane Pittman.
Okay. Cool.
Wow.
We've been brushing shoulders with, you know, Luke Combs, Cody Johnson. Yeah. I mean, in good company.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had a couple of our previous guests walk the red carpet and they made no mention of us.
Yeah, so next year when you're there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you got to say, oh, shout out to the boys.
That's all you have to say. Shout out to the boys.
That's all we want. Could be any boys. Just the no.
I missed out on the red carpet this year, so you're lucky. No, I couldn't be. I'll be there.
So how do you get on the red carpet? What do you,
that's the thing. I didn't know. And apparently you needed to have a connection somewhere and you needed to organize your walk time. And it's like, geez, well, no one told me that. I'm just here all by myself. I've got no bloody clue. So, yeah, no one filled me in on that. So I was like, whatever. And then I was trying to pull some strings, you know, the days before it and talk to some people. And they were trying to pull some strings. You know, they didn't want me on the carpet. So whatever. Yeah. It's fine.
You just keep putting songs like this out and they've got to get you on the red carpet.
I want you on the carpet. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be good. So, well, yeah, I guess that's the aim. So you got another song you said coming out mid-year.
Yep. And back in the studio in June as well. So
are we going for a whole album or are we going for a...
Just a couple more singles. Doing a couple more singles. It's very expensive. I don't think people, understand how expensive it is. I've had a lot of people saying, oh, when's the album? Like, I've just released three songs. Give me a break. It's already cost me, I'm not even kidding you, like nearly $50,000 so far. And I've got nothing anywhere near an album, you know? So it's crazy. And I think, when people realize and put that into perspective, they're like, oh, wow, an album must be pretty expensive. Yeah, it will be. One day, obviously, that's like, you know, a huge life goal for me is do an album. I reckon a few years' time, see how we go. Some EPs.
Yeah.
Definitely.
An EP.
But, yeah, it is a lot, and it's hard, especially when it's just the one-woman show, you know. I'm doing all this by myself, paying for all of this by myself. Yeah. Making all this money by myself. Like, no one's paying for this for me. I'm literally doing everything off my own back. And I'm very proud of that. And I love that I've been able to do it all, so far independently and by myself, which has been...
It's a huge achievement. One person show, running the whole thing and doing the numbers that you do. I mean, I know that in the Taylor Swift sort of a world, she'd look at your numbers and say, you know, but with a lot of the new artists coming through, the numbers that you're getting is just phenomenal, and it's like you're tapping on the door that's the next door over from the tap on the door that gets you in. If that makes sense.
Feels like on the right track. I've got a bit of, you know, momentum now, and some listeners that actually want to listen to my stuff, and I think at like 36,000 monthly listeners or something now, which has been a consistent number for a little bit, which is insane. Like, there's a lot of artists
listening to you. Yeah, it's like,
and I guess one thing, it's a lot of hard work, but one thing it gives you is it gives you a lot of control over creative control over what you do, which is
which is great and bad. Creative control. I love that. Everything's how I want it.
It's good and bad. you're learning that side of the business as well. So no one's gonna, you know, pull the walls over your eyes when it comes to things like that. If you've been doing it yourself, so that's a good. It's a good thing in a way.
If you were to have a mentor, so you were able to choose anyone to mentor you to take you to the next stage, and you're not allowed to say Curly or Braggy, right? So we would accept that we would be right up there, but if it wasn't for us, who would you gravitate to? If someone, the ideal mentor for you to take you to the next step, who would that look like?
A couple female artists that I would love to sit in a room with for an hour and just pick their brain. Lainey Wilson and Ella Langley. I don't know if you guys would know who they are.
I've heard the name.
Langley.
Yeah, Lainey Wilson, huge at the moment. Like she's, yeah, she's one of the biggest, yeah, country female artists at the moment. And just her like ability to stay so real, and you know, she has this whole look and character to her, and all of her music is just phenomenal. Yeah, just everything about her, I love it. I love her look. I love, yeah, her realness, and I just, yeah, I really aspire to be Lainey Wilson. Not be Lainey Wilson. I want to be Josie, but she is just a big inspiration to look up to. And then Ella Langley, also just love what she's doing, her sound, her look, and yeah, just being real. Like that's, I think that's a big thing with me is I want to be real. I'm not spending any time being fake or putting on a show. I do
put on a show. So is that what their look is like? They're just straight down to earth. I'm looking at you. You got the tattoos, which I really admire. I like tats.
I just got a new one. This one's for our place, little campfire.
Nice.
I got it in Melbourne. You know, I love my tats. And so, Langley,
you're singing the trucker songs. You got the trucker tats.
Yeah,
I like this. That's a good style. Yeah, and that's not a style you see in country a lot with a female artist, which I think is, if that's what you're kind of talking about, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, yours is authentic as they come, Josie. So any sights on Nashville?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I would have loved to have gone this year. I would have loved to have done CMA Fest, but June is a little bit too soon for the budget to allow. So I'm going to hope, I'm going to put out in the universe, let's say June next year, I'd love to be over there and just coincide a trip, do like, you know, a month or something before or after the CMA Fest. So I can just be there amongst that, but also, you know, go and do some rights, organize meetups with people, like all that stuff. We'll see what we can do. That's what I'm putting in the universe.
Yeah.
We'll try for it. But yeah, I would just absolutely love to get over there and get amongst it. I mean, it's the place to be.
100%. We little bit of news out of Nashville, Braggy, is that Alison Asarch is getting to work on her second album, so she crowdfunded that. So I found that interesting. As Josie says, it's a lot of money, and she was able to raise it through crowdsource. So that was awesome. And Katrina Burgoyne is adjusting to her new life as a mum.
Mother.
Yeah. So how cool is that? So.
And she's done she was there in Nashville and she's just full on. She's just so busy, that girl. Like
do a right
song, gig, put that out. Yeah.
That's what it's like. That's the Nashville lifestyle.
Yeah.
Full on.
Well, Australians, mate, we get taken by storm, I reckon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll have to go over there just to talk in my accent and like see the reaction of all the Americans, because I've heard they just love Australian accents.
Yeah.
So I'll just go there and talk like an absolute feral bogan and just see what they say.
Well, bloody Keith and Nicole have lost theirs. So you get out there and
I've got to go and reinforce.
Yeah.
That's the, it. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
I'll probably do that.
100%. So, Josie, we love our place. We love Freight Man. We love down here. You're just churning out some really cool stuff. And we just hope you maintain that momentum and keep driving forward, because we love, you know, one thing we see now, we're not country music like groupies or big, huge fans. That's why we've got Big Shoe out. Our country music correspondent that comes in and sets us all straight every now and again. But but what we see in this country scene here in Australia at the moment is just a group of fresh artists. A lot of them are female, and they are just striving and working hard to get heard and being heard and just producing some great stuff, you know. Laura Frank's got a new single coming out, so looking forward to hearing that. She's been touring around with, and the name's going to elude me now, but it's gone. But anyway, she's been doing like 600 shows around just working hard. And I just really wish you every single success moving forward, because you're putting out great music and people are obviously loving what you do.
No, thank you so much. It's all about the hustle, and I'm hustling. We're doing the work, and it's repaying. I'm loving it.
Yeah, and the fact you're doing it from Townsville, like that, just people would that would have been one of the first bits of advice I reckon a lot of people gave you. You got to move from where you are. Yeah,
get out of there.
So, the fact is you're creating a huge following. So, Josie, as always, been awesome speaking with you. Thanks for coming on the show tonight. You were due like 2 weeks ago, and then,
everything happened.
Things happen, and we've just been having a bit of fun. But your music will be added to the Unfiltered Undiscovered playlist on Spotify. We will also put it in our, what have I called it? The Fresh and Fierce Female Unfiltered and Undiscovered Bums playlist. So you'll also be found there by our listeners. We are well over the 320 song mark, I think, at the moment. So if you ever just want some music in your background during your day, put on the Unfiltered Undiscovered playlist. Josie, all your links will be in our show notes so people can check you out. As I said, I wish you every single success from the new song, and we look forward to your next one when it comes out. So, Braggy, any final remarks? And
I just want to say, if anyone's listening who maybe is not a big country fan, but if they're like, if there's any fathers out there who have a father-daughter relationship, listen to Freight Man, because it's a good song. I love it. That's how I really connect with it, father and daughter sort of thing. You know, it's great.
I'm so glad. Thank you so much for having me.
No worries.
It's always great. Guys, I've got no lyrics from the playlist tonight, so I'm sorry.
I had them. He's cooking up a storm, and Mum's cranking up the music. That's the lyrics from the playlist.
So thanks for tuning in, and we will see you all again next week. And once again, thanks, Josie.
Thanks, Josie.
And see yous.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye. Catch you on the flip side.
Living down here where a truck ain't a 4x4. It's an 18-wheeler, caught in them lows, crossing all the board. Way down here, where the homeland's girded by sea. We might not talk in miles, but the West is just as wild. From the Kansas sun to the Outback Plains. Sing about Tennessee and what it means to me. I ain't ever in my life took a ride on the Mississippi, but I can sing about open roads, a little hank on the radio, working hard, getting paid every day with a shot of whiskey. I guess it ain't that different, country living down here. Working down here, the hands look a little worse for wear. The land ain't drinking till the rain starts falling in the southern air. And way on down here, everybody's got a tale to tell about the better days when there was water in a well. From a Texas sun to the flooding rain. Country life is all the same. I can't sing about Tennessee. different.